Centerpoint Conferences is proud to present a digital recording of Southern Utah's 2015 LDS Homeschool Conference.
Welcome to Body Language, Enrolling Your Children with Ann Washburn. I'm excited for this class because I have a husband and four boys, and our communication skills are sometimes around reminiscent of a John Gray book like Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. I'm hoping that body language can be our common language. So I'm ready to be taught. Help me welcome Ann Washburn.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Well, I wondered, how many of you know anything about body language? A little bit? Excellent. How many would like to know more? Okay, good. I was going to make sure that all the hands went up on that one, because if not, this is not where you want to be, because I'm going to teach you about body language in the time that we're here. I love body language because when it comes to communication, notice I've drawn a pie chart here about communication, and when it comes to communication, body language is the biggest piece of communication. Words are only about 7% of our communication. The tone of those words makes up 36. Have you ever gotten in trouble for your tone of voice? Yeah. So it's a bigger piece than the words that you speak. So this last piece, the body language, is 57% of communication. So if you are sending a message to somebody and your body language gestures don't match the words you're speaking, which piece is going to be louder? The body language. Body language will be a louder piece of your communication. So it's a very powerful shortcut to understanding how to send a clear message. Because in our world today, communication and relationships are what matter more than anything else. One of the big reasons that I hear when I talk to people who are doing homeschool, one of the big reasons is because of what they don't want communicated to their kids at school. Even if you, while I was driving down here yesterday, so yesterday I was on the radio, I was on Fox News Radio, they asked me to come down and do a spot on there, and then I did a big body language show at the Abbey Inn. And on the way down here, I was listening to this piece on the radio when I turned on the radio for just a minute, and they were talking about how we need to be careful with the advertising that goes on, not just because we care about whether or not that product is one that we would purchase, but because advertising is doing more to program how we think, not just the products that we purchase. So communication is key, and relationships in our life are very valuable, which means this: miscommunication is very costly. Where does miscommunication cost us? What areas of your life does miscommunication cost you? What? Relationships. Where else? At work, on the job, at home. Have you ever thought about this? Communication also can be costly in money. It can be costly in resources. Miscommunication, it can be costly at the restaurant. If you go to a restaurant and you give your order to the waiter or the waitress and it doesn't match, if your communication doesn't match, you'll end up having different food than you even ordered. And in our world today, where there's so many allergies, that can be very costly. So communication is key. It's very, very powerful. So the pieces that I would like to share with you today are, if you look at this paper right here, and you all got one of those, yes? Did you get one? Okay. So on here, on the back, this is some information you can read about the company that I work with. This is Kirk Duncan. He is, see, not me. This is not the same person. He is the owner and founder of the company and the place where I learned the majority of my body language training. This here in the middle, we are an education company, and this is a list of many of the classes that we offer. All of these classes on this list are taught either by Kirk, the owner of the company, or by me. So we teach many, many classes on communication, body language, and how to manage the comments and the programs that are in your own mind. So this is a very powerful curriculum that we have. On this side of the page, these are the pieces that I want to cover while you're here. I won't have time to get through all of them, so the pieces that I'm going to share with you are, part one here, I will give you the answers to this fill-in-the-blank. Because when it comes to this kind of a class, I'm a really nice teacher. I'll give you all the answers. And you can cheat off your neighbor if you miss one. Good? And down here at the bottom, eyes are very powerful when it comes to communication, but I'm not going to go over those today. You can read about them on here. And let me just tell you this piece. When you ask somebody a question, they'll look somewhere before they answer. And if you know where they look to find their answer, it can be a shortcut to building communication, building rapport, and mind reading. Okay? Because eyes will access different parts of your memory. And if you know what part of their memory they were accessing to find an answer, it's a shortcut to communication. Now, here's another piece that I want you to understand. In our world today, people make judgments about us before they ever hear a word that we speak. People see us coming, and they make judgments about us based on what they see. And those judgments, good or bad, are made, and we haven't even spoken yet. So what happens is, it has been said that it takes 10 positive impressions, or 10 good impressions, to make up for a bad first impression. And so we haven't even opened our mouth, and we make a negative impression. No matter how positive our words are, people will be making judgments about us, and it will be hard. We'll be playing catch-up. So lucky for us, the opposite is also true. It will take 10 negative impressions to ruin a good first impression. And so if you understand the body language that helps to send a positive first impression, you have a shortcut. So I want to share 5 pieces of positive body language that will help you to send a positive first impression, and also to show you how that body language will work with your own subconscious. Good? Can I share those things with you? Thank you. Can I tell you really quick how I ended up being a body language trainer? Anybody curious? Okay, so it's kind of a fun story. Because I have been working with 3 key elements for a little over 4 years. In that time, I have done over 1,777 presentations. Thank you very much. And which means I get to travel all over and do body language trainings. I already have several places that have contacted me since I was on the radio yesterday that want me to come back and do presentations around the community here. And one of them was, It was Dixie Technical College wants me to come down and train all of their staff and students. Because anywhere that there are humans, we benefit from understanding the body language that we're sending. Because it's this big a piece of communication. So I love my job. I love what I do. The other thing I do is I also mentor people, which means I work one-on-one with people to help them find the blocks that are keeping them from reaching their goals. Because we'll set a goal, and then something stops us, and we don't achieve that goal, and then we just decide, well, I guess I wasn't meant to have it, or I guess I don't choose to do that anymore. But where if we can have the shortcuts to find out how we stopped ourselves from achieving that goal, we can have the shortcuts to making it to what we choose. So when you change your body language, you change your results. When you choose your body language, you choose your results. So becoming conscious of our body language will help us be able to choose the results that we want. But I haven't always done this. So before this, before I'd been doing this coolest job on the planet as a body language expert, I built flight simulators. So I worked in flight simulation and built multi-million-dollar flight simulators. And my first job out of college, I worked in explosives. So explosives, flight simulation, body language expert. Sounds like a career path, right? But the reason that happened was because of this. When I was in high school was a very frustrating place to me. I didn't like trying to interact with the kids. I didn't like trying to communicate with the teachers. And I had a college in the town I grew up in. So I left high school early, and I went to that college, and I asked him, I said, please, can I just come to college? And the guy looks at me, looks at my papers, and says, sure, you can come to college. And I was like, yes, that was easy. But then he asked the hard question, what are you going to major in? Oh, okay, I knew I didn't want to be in high school. I didn't know what I want my major to be. But I thought about it for a second, and I said, okay, college, cute boys. All right, what do you have with no girls? And he looks at me, what? I'm like, yeah, no girls. Then I only have boys to communicate with and less competition. And he's like, okay. And he opens his book, back when it used to still be books that they used for that kind of thing. He opens his book and he scans through the pages and he says, okay, how about this? How about you be an engineer? And I thought about it for a minute and then I said, nope, I don't want to drive a train. Because I thought engineers drove trains. And he's like, look, there's no girls and there's no trains. And I'm like, serious? Sign me up. So I went through school in mechanical engineering and I graduated in mechanical engineering. Cool little tangent. I was elected woman of the year for the department. It was a really hard contest. But it looks great in the yearbook, so I don't tell my kids that part. But I graduated in mechanical engineering, then I married an engineer. And now we have 4 boys, and now they're about this size, and 1 daughter. But I still wasn't very good at communicating with people. And I would send my kids to school, and I would go to their school, and I'd get in arguments with the teachers. And I'd get in arguments with the other parents. And I'd come home and I'd talk to my husband and I'd tell him, why are people so mean? And he's like, I don't know, Anne. Then my kids would come home from school and they'd say, Mom, there's an activity at school. Can Dad come? So this is where I was at in my life. So I would send my kids to school in the morning and then I would go hide on the couch and under a blanket. And I wouldn't answer the door, and I wouldn't answer the phone. Because I was tired of being in arguments with people. I was tired of speaking kind words and having people be mad at me all the time. It was a very hard place to be. And so my kids, I'd send them off to school, and I would hide. That's what I would do all day long. And an interesting thing happened. My husband came home one day, and he said, Ann, I have signed you up for a class. Oh, you think I want to go to a class? Not even a little bit. And I told him so. I'm like, I don't want to go to a class. And he said, look, Ann, it's called Master Your Influence. And there's body language there. Go learn how to talk to people. Oh. So here's my body language going to the class. Fine, go ahead. Try and teach me something. Because I didn't want to learn anything. It was everybody else that was having the problem, not me. But then I sat there and listened and learned that when you send a conflicting message between your words and your body language, people will discount the words to believe what they see. And I thought, serious? Body language matters this much? So I'm like, I'm smart. I'll go try it. I will go home and I will adjust my body language. And here's the biggest problem of all. I immediately got different results. So then the stubborn part of me kicked in. Who's my stubborn people in the room? Don't worry, I was watching you guys, so I know who the stubborn people are. But stubborn's not bad. It just depends on how you use it. So the stubborn part of me kicked in, and I'm like, if body language matters this much, how come I never learned about it? I went all the way through college and had no classes in body language. How much training in body language have you had? We don't have any. And it's this big of a piece of communication. So that's when I chose to change my career. And I went from building flight simulators to doing the scariest thing on the planet. Talking in front of people. Because you Google scariest things on the planet, public speaking. Then spiders. Then go down about 8, and then it's dying. Okay? You guys are scarier than spiders and death. Because people are afraid of being up in front of other people. And we could just talk from now till midnight about what's going on in the subconscious when it comes to that. But I want to teach you about body language. Because I choose, as my career, to give people the shortcuts that have taken me from that place where I was to the place where now in my life, I choose my goals. And I know how to achieve them. To now where in my life, my kids are excited to tell people who their mom is. And my husband and I, next month, we will have been married for 23 years, and we're the happiest we've ever been. Thank you. If only I would have understood this sooner, because the first 18 years of my marriage were very difficult. It was very hard. And now we're happy. And now my kids and I know how to communicate. And I know how to give my kids the skills that help them interact and help them achieve their goals. So that's what I want to share with you. Would that be good?
Yes.
All right. Let me pass these. Could you pass that one back there, please? Here you are. Okay, so this is what I would like to do first. I would like to be able to have volunteers come up to the front of the room. Would anybody want to be a volunteer? The back row, interesting. So in order to have volunteers, we do have to have safety. And the way we create safety is to have rules. So I would like to have three rules. How many?
Three.
And the rules are this. The first rule is high levels of respect. Please tell the person next to you, I will respect you till 4 o'clock. After that, you're out of my jurisdiction, but till 4 o'clock, high levels of respect. Number two, stay present. I will tell you things that will cause you to remember what your kids have done, other people that you've seen, and your brain might want to wander. But I'm going to just keep teaching, so I need you to keep your brain present. So if your brain starts to wander, play with me. Grab your brain, and when you put it back in, make sure it has a squishy sound. Good squishy sounds, because that combines the left and the right side of the brain. And we want to have left and right side of the brain learning, because we retain it better that way. And number three, manage your communication device. Make sure your cell phone's on silent. And when you have a question, use this signal. Have you seen that one? Okay, use this signal. And if it's not time for questions, please write your question down so that you can ask it. I do want you to have time for questions at the end. Good? Everybody who can abide by these rules, please raise your hand. All right, excellent. What is this kind of raising your hand? And the last piece is this. I have done many presentations. I understand a lot about how your brain is working and how it operates. And I am going to share everything I can with you in the time we're here. So you could say, I am here to play at 100%. But I know how your brain works. And your brain will only absorb to the level at which you're willing to play. So if I'm here to play at 100%, what level will you play at? 100%. Great, that sounded like two. So 100%, is your 100% going to be the same as her 100%? Nope, and you're only held to your 100%. Because what I'm going to ask is this. I'm going to ask you to get a little bit uncomfortable. How much?
A little bit.
Not a lot, just a little bit. And the reason is this. Growth begins at the edge of our comfort zone. Because our subconscious wants to keep things familiar and comfortable. And in order to grow, we have to get outside of that comfort zone. So I'm going to ask you to be a little bit uncomfortable. Now, it'll still be legal, moral, and ethical, okay? But a little bit uncomfortable. Play with me. Take your arms. Get your arms out. Now fold your arms. Now here's the quiz you're going to be quizzed on. Which arm is on top? Look down and see which arm is on top. Got it? So everybody unfold your arms. Now, refold them with the other arm on top. Like, which? I don't know how to do it. Okay, so how does that feel? How does that feel? Uncomfortable. Off balance. We feel because it is unfamiliar. So this is still legal, moral, and ethical, but it's a little bit uncomfortable. Because if you're going, Einstein is credited with saying, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And so if you are going to continue the same body language, then you can continue the same results. But if you are willing to choose different body language, you get to choose different results. So you can unfold your arms now, and a little bit later, I will ask you to fold them again. And at that moment, you have a choice. Will I do it the way I have always done it, or will I choose something new? You'll have a choice. Good?
Good.
All right, so I'm going to read the first part of the fill in the blank. I will read two blanks at a time. When you have them filled in, say, got it, and I'll know it's time to go on. Got it?
Good.
Reading body language is a skill to find answers and solutions. To begin reading body language, I must remove judgment and see movements as indicators. When I see movement, the next step is to ask good questions. Okay, so if you see somebody standing like this, what does it mean? Don't talk to me. Defensive, closed, cold, comfort, spilled something on my shirt. How are you going to know which one it is? And do what? Look at your paper. Do what? Good questions. Is this a good question? Why are you so defensive? Okay, that would not be a good question. Good questions build rapport and increase connection. Ungood questions push people away and make them defensive. What's going on in your subconscious is this. Now, I drew these ahead of time to save time. Is that okay, you guys? Okay, because usually I would draw them for you, but I wanted to save a little time. So here is you. Tell the person next to you, oh, you look good. So here's you. And inside your head, you have a conscious and a subconscious. Did you bring both of those with you?
Yes.
Good. So inside the conscious mind, we process 40 pieces of information every second. The subconscious processes 40 million. 40 million pieces of information every second. So just like this morning, if you were in... Can I say Brother Rhodes, since we're in LDS homeschool? When Brother Rhodes spoke, he talked about all the cell division that happens in our body. We're really glad that we have a subconscious that will process all of that information for us. I really don't want to have to be in charge of my heart beating, because what if I got distracted and forgot to tell my heart to beat? That could be bad. We'd all be falling over all over the place. So our subconscious processes all that cell division of that 100 trillion cells. It processes our heart beating, and all of this information comes in. So in order to process all of this information, the subconscious chunks the data. It takes all the data that comes in and it runs it through programs. In other words, it keeps things familiar. When we've done something over and over, it becomes a subconscious behavior. Does that make sense? So, for example, how many of you drive a car? How many of you remember your first day behind the wheel? I will never forget that day. I grew up in Idaho. My mom pulls to the side of the road. I'm 11. And she says, Ann, can you reach the pedals? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, good. Drive to Rigby while I read my book. Yeah, I remember every second of the road from there to Rigby, because I did not know how to drive this car. It was a very conscious event. But now I'm driving, and there's many times I pull into my driveway and I go, how did I get here? You've done that? Because it's now a subconscious behavior. Now, you guys are education type people, so could I give you a little bit more level of education? Okay, this is an interesting thing to understand about people's brains. Adult brains use mostly what we call the alpha waves. Our adult brains are in an alpha wave state. Children between the ages of birth and around age 8, and then it changes up to about the age of 12, are in a brainwave state of delta and theta waves. Delta and theta waves. Now, here's the interesting thing. One of the people that I mentored recently is a hypnotherapist. And this hypnotherapist, we were talking one time, and we were talking about the brain. And he said, Ann, the interesting thing is, what a hypnotist wants to do is put the adult brain in a theta brainwave state, because then a suggestion can be easily introduced into the brain. Well, the kids are already in that brainwave state. So they are absorbing very quickly all the things around them. And this is important for us, because then we can learn language quickly. We can learn to walk quickly. We learn all the things around us. And hopefully one of them that we learn quickly is toilet training. Because, man, I really hated having a 3.5-year-old that wasn't toilet trained yet. You know what I mean? Hopefully none of you know what I mean. But the doctor did tell me at the time, he goes, Ann, none of these kids go to college in diapers. It will happen eventually. And I was like, okay, fine. And it's true. He's now on a mission. I have two kids on missions right now. My oldest is in Honduras, and he has been there for 8 months. My daughter, that's just younger, is in Bosnia. I don't know where that is from. Bosnia, on the other side of the planet, okay? So that's where my two kids are right now. Here is an interesting thing I want you to know. The subconscious does not decide if any of those programs are good or bad for us. It just absorbs the programs. And then it will defend the programs because it wants to keep things familiar. Because the more familiar, the greater chance we have of staying alive. Because that's the subconscious' greatest goal, is to keep us alive. Does this make sense? So the subconscious doesn't decide if it's a good or a bad program. It just says, here's a program, it didn't kill us, let's keep running it. Even if it's not good for us. Choice only happens in the conscious mind. So in order to be able to choose something different, it has to happen in the conscious mind, not the subconscious. But the subconscious will listen to what the conscious says. So let me explain. Let me explain, and then if you still have the question, you can ask. Good? So what happens is this. Our subconscious, as a child, we've absorbed all these programs. Are all of them good for us?
No.
Let's check. How many of you had parents? Oh, then all of our programs aren't good for us. Because we all get a turn messing up our own kids. I write my kids all the time, I'm so sorry I messed you up, here's tools to help. And I send them to them. And then I work on my younger kids, because I have three younger kids, two in elementary age level and a teenager. And I teach them about their subconscious. Because what happens is this. Let me draw you another picture. Ready? Wasn't that fast? So good. So your subconscious, this is the second part of your fill in the blank. Another thing that your subconscious does is, once you have learned a language, it goes into the subconscious. While you're learning it, it's a very conscious event. So my son's down there in Honduras, and he emails home, and he's like, talking to people down here is like talking to motorboats, because they talk so fast. And he's trying to learn by having the words go through the conscious mind. Well, now by Christmas, I listened to him talk to his companion while he was on Skype with us, and he's getting really good at Spanish. It happens much more quickly now. And my daughter, she had to learn two languages, so they kept her in the MTC an extra month to teach her an extra language. So they're using a lot of programming in their brain. Well, when you're speaking, your subconscious will choose the words for you ahead of time before you speak them. Have you ever had words pop into your head and then you had to decide whether you were going to say them? Yeah. And some of us need to filter those words better. But our subconscious prepares about 650 words every minute. Then we choose, out of those 650, we can speak an average of 150 of those words every minute. So now we've got to choose those words. We filter them down. Some people need a better filter. Some guys don't speak even 50 words a minute, sometimes it seems. And some girls, it's way more. But on average, we speak 150 of those words. Well, our subconscious chose the words based on our programs that are in our subconscious. So our subconscious says, okay, I see you couldn't send out all of the message, and I want to keep these programs going because they're familiar. So I will help you out. And these 500 words that got held back, I'll send that message out in your body language. Okay, now make this sound. Oh! Because that's what I thought when I learned that. And I'm like, wait a second, there's a reason why I didn't speak those words. There's a reason why I didn't choose to say those things. And you're telling me I sent the message out anyway? Yep, that's what I'm telling you. Because our subconscious, remember, didn't decide if those were good or bad programs. It just said, let's keep them going. So now here's what happens. The subconscious sends that message out through the body language. But this is the power of body language. Let me, do you still have your question? Are you good?
Yeah, it's just the 40 versus the 40.
40 million?
Million?
Mm-hmm, 40 million.
Got that wrong in my head.
So it's a million times more information goes through your subconscious than your conscious.
I was going to ask what unit it is, but it's just times more.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. This is actually every second.
Oh, per second.
Per second. Yep. Good. Excellent question. So this is what happens. Let me illustrate with a story. So I told you that I would send my kids to school and I would hide on the couch under a blanket. Well, have you ever heard the term, there's a lot on my plate? Have you ever heard that? So that's a really good term we use in our language that has to do with body language. So we have this plate, and I don't see people carrying plates around, so I'm pretty sure the plate is in our subconscious. So everybody pull your plate out for a minute and hold it in front of you. Now tell me what is on this plate. What's on your plate? Kids? Meals? Housework? Husband? Lots of to-dos. There's lots of to-dos. What else is on your plate?
Growing.
Emotions.
Learning.
Curiosity. So, on our plate, the majority of what's on our plate is things we want to accomplish or do, and then how we feel about the things on our to-do list. So there's the feelings about what we need to accomplish. Which do you think takes up more room? The to-dos or how we feel about the to-dos?
How we feel.
How we feel takes up more room. So here I was on the couch, and I was hiding on the couch, but I didn't want my kids to know I was hiding on the couch. But inside the plate in my subconscious, I felt very overwhelmed. I wasn't getting anything done. I wasn't doing the dishes or the laundry. I wasn't even bothering to shower most days. Scary place for a husband to come home to, okay? But this is how I felt, because the plate in my head felt full, very full and overflowing. So my kids would come home from school, but just before they came home, I would get off the couch and I'd go to the door where they were coming in, because I didn't want them to know I'd been over there all day. And I'd put the vacuum in the middle of the floor so it looked like I was getting ready to vacuum, but it just would sit there, right? And the kids would come in, and I was really happy to see my kids. They were the thing that was keeping me going. But my kids would come in the door, and I'd say, "Kids, tell me about your day while I finish cooking dinner over here." What's my mouth saying? "Come here." But my hand is speaking for my subconscious. And it's saying, there is no more room on Anne's plate. I'm sorry, there's no more room. Please stay off of Mom's plate. So should I be surprised when my kids don't want to tell me about their day? No. Because my body language is a louder piece of the communication. Does that make sense? So now what happens is this. Our subconscious is sending out a message. My conscious mind can choose to override it when I know it's happening. So my kids come in the door. "Kids, tell me about your day while I finish cooking dinner over here." And I completely change my message from a push to a pull. Does that make sense? Somebody go, "Whoa, that's cool." So I can override the message that goes from my subconscious by overriding my body language and sending a new message to my subconscious. That's the power of body language. I choose new body language. I can choose new results. So on the second part of your fill in the blank, I'm going to read them and you tell me the answers. Good? Two of you. Good? While you are speaking, the brain prepares and organizes 650 words per minute to say. At the last moment, our consciousness filters this down to 150 words. As a person speaks, there are an average of 500 words that are held back. And these hidden words show up in body language. All right, let's see. Let's tell you a story. I need a volunteer. It will now be a choose-a-tier since somebody volunteered. Actually, will you be my volunteer?
Sure.
What's your name?
Lauren.
Lauren, everybody say, "You can do it, Lauren."
You can do it, Lauren.
They are so excited it's not them. So you're going to stand right here, and you're going to help me tell a story about one of my boys, okay?
Okay.
Don't worry, it's not painful, and I won't tell anybody about your body language, okay?
Okay.
Got it?
Yep.
Okay. So my son, 2 years ago, he was homeschooled for a couple of years, and then he went to junior high. And in junior high 1 year, he ended up going to 4 different junior highs in 1 year. Would you like to go to 4 different junior highs? How about one? He didn't want to go to 4. He's a good kid. He just ended up at 4 different junior highs. So he comes home after a day in the 4th junior high. And now what I need from you is a teenage boy stance to help illustrate this story. Well, that's not bad. That's kind of teenage girl, though. Okay, I'll help you. It's like, put your weight on one leg, but now fold your arms. There, that makes it a little more teenage boy right there. Do you think? Okay, so I know she's girly, and she's good at looking girly, but we're going to pretend for a minute that she's Ty, okay? Because this story is about my son. So Ty comes home, and he's standing like this, and he says, Mom, why do the kids keep picking on me? And I looked at him, and I said, well, I can tell you. And he goes, is it body language? I'm like, well, it's a matter of fact. And so he does this move. He goes, ugh. And he walks out of the room. Have you ever seen that body language move? This one? Where they scan their whole brain? Yeah. That one? Somebody say, what does it mean?
What does it mean?
I searched my whole brain, and you're not worth any of it. Be very careful with eye rolling, okay? So he's standing like this, and he rolls his eyes, and he leaves the room. And I'm like, well, he wasn't ready yet. We'll see what happens. So he comes back the next day. Did I spit on you? Sorry.
Oh, no.
Yeah, don't sit too close, right? We got to have a spit zone.
Splash.
Splash zone right here. So he comes home the next day, same stance, and he says this. All right, fine, Mom, tell me. How long do you think I have to talk to him? Oh, you guys are so generous. I figured 20 seconds, okay? So if you only have a minute to talk to them, what piece of body language would you talk about? What would you choose?
Posture.
Arms, posture. What else? Arms? What was yours? Say what?
Smile.
Smile. Those are all very important. They're all very important. But I'm thinking this way. I'm thinking whatever piece of body language I cover, I want to send a new message to his subconscious. So I'm thinking about what message I want to send to his subconscious without telling him. So I said, Ty, I want to talk about legs. Now, on your paper next to legs, I want you to write this. Legs have to do with strength, foundation, and balance. Strength, foundation, and balance. So the other reason that I chose this is I knew I could capture his attention because Ty understands chickens, okay? What do chickens do if they see a weakness? They peck at it. Yeah, chickens are very mean. They are not nurturing things. They want to peck at a weakness. And so if they see a weakness, they peck at it. Now, Ty understands chickens because when Ty was in second grade, he was attacked by a chicken and spent a month in primary children's. Yeah, so chickens, I pretty much guarantee to get his attention. So he's got his weight on one leg, and I said, Ty, do you stand like this at school? And here's his answer. Yeah, Mom, we all do, duh. And I was like, well, Mr. Attitude, let's talk. I said, do you know that when you stand like this, it sends a message of weakness? It sends a message that you're easily knocked off balance. And so now when other kids see you, they will want to peck at that weakness, just like chickens. And he's like, chickens? Chickens? I don't want to be a chicken. So I said, if you'll stand with your weight on both legs, when you're in the hall or you're in front of other kids or you're giving a presentation, this now sends the message that you're strong in your foundation. I'm not easily knocked off balance. Listen to all the terms. I'm on my last leg. I have a weak foundation. I'm easily knocked off balance. All of these things are terms that we say, and they're talking about our foundation. So I taught him about this, and I said, if you'll stand like this, then the kids will look at that and go, whoa, it'll take longer to knock him off balance. I'm going to go find an easier target, and you'll just see what happens. And so his response was this, ugh, and he left the room. I'm like, okay, we'll see what happens. So now will you play me? Can we switch roles for a minute?
Sure.
Okay, so this particular day, I was washing dishes in the kitchen. Can you pretend to wash dishes? Hey, no, I don't smile that much when I wash dishes. Okay? And I'll be Ty, because I, out of the corner of my eye, I see Ty walk in the kitchen, and he does this when he sees me. Have you ever seen somebody do a back pedal? I'm like, he has something to tell me. So now, instead of turning at him and pointing all my energy at him and scaring him off, I just keep doing the dishes. I keep doing the dishes, and I watch Ty come up to the counter. He gets a plate out, and he starts to make a sandwich. And out of the corner of my eye, I see him slide the plate, and then he steps over. And I'm like, this ought to be good. So he's making his sandwich, slides the plate, and he's a little closer, and all of a sudden he goes, Mom, it works, and he runs out of the room. And I was like, wow, interesting. So at the end of that school year, I gave him the option. I said, do you want to change junior highs again? And he's like, no way. I have more friends and better results in this junior high than any junior high I've been to. And the only thing I taught him was legs. But when I, so will you move over here for just a second? But when I taught him about legs, what message was I sending to his subconscious?
That he was
strong. That he was balanced. I was getting a new message to his subconscious because I taught him a reason to have different body language. Oh, is that neat? Come on, gotta participate, or we're going back to the rules. Okay, so come back over here again. Lauren, right?
Yes.
Okay. So here's Lauren. What's your name?
Lauren.
Okay, say Lauren. What's your whole name?
Lauren Bishop.
Lauren Bishop. Okay, Lauren, do you like your name?
I do.
You like your name?
Yes.
Okay, then say it with your eyes open.
Lauren Bishop.
Oh, closer. So much closer. Okay, so I can tell a lot about people by how they say their name. Okay, we don't have time to go there. Dang. Okay, stay here. All right, because I got to teach you a couple more things about first impressions that you can teach to people, okay? Okay?
Yes.
Okay. So another thing I want you to know is feet. On your paper, write, feet have to do with direction and attention. And I'm just going to leave those two for a minute. That's all we have time to go into. Direction and attention. So here's the interesting thing. The way your toes are pointed sends a message about the direction you're going. Somebody go, duh. Does that make sense? But a lot of people will point their toes like this. Have you seen people that have their toes like this? Now, this sends a message of split thinking. I haven't decided which way to go yet. And so now, we are hardwired in our subconscious. We want to follow somebody who knows where they're going. And if somebody doesn't know where they're going, then we don't want to follow them. Or if they don't at least appear to know where they're going. So, for example, up in Salt Lake, not so much down here, but every year on the freeway, there are times I'm driving on the freeway and I can't see very far ahead of me. Have you ever been in a freeway like that before? Who do you want to follow? Who do you want to follow when you're in a storm like that? No, say it.
The person who looks like they know where they're going.
The semi-truck drivers, because they're higher up. Somebody usually says the snowplow, and I'm like, no, they spit rocks. You don't want to follow them. So last night, this guy says, I want to follow the person following the snowplow. I'm like, yeah, let them take all the rocks. But if you follow the semi-truck drivers, they're higher up. They've done it a lot of times. They know how and where they're going. They can see where they're going. So our feet send this same message. If we have feet going in two different directions, we send the message, I haven't decided which way to go yet. And then we have trouble making decisions. So if we pull our feet back and point them in the same direction, we tell our subconscious, it's okay.
I can choose where to go. I can choose where to go.
So one year I was following, I was in going around the point of the mountain in Salt Lake in a snowstorm, and I could barely see the car ahead of me. So here's these taillights, and I'm white-knuckled holding the steering wheel, barely can see this car. And all of a sudden the taillights do this. And I'm like, find someone else to follow.
Because I want to follow somebody who knows where they're going. And this is what sends that message. Oh, 12 cool stories I could tell you about this. But I gotta take you to one other piece before we're done. Okay? Who's heard of gravity? We talked about that this morning. Okay, so here's gravity. Gravity pulls down. Yeah, you gotta stay here. You wanna take notes?
I do, but I'm okay. I'll remember.
All right.
I'll copy.
Give Lauren a big round of applause so she can take notes. Thank you, Lauren.
But I do want to know about the closing your eyes thing,
too. Okay, so here's the thing. Gravity, one of the things that it pulls down on us a lot is our shoulders. They've done studies. I don't know who they are all the time, but they do a lot of studies. And one of the studies they've done is you're actually shorter in the evening than you were in the morning. Gravity pulls down on us enough that we're shorter in the evening than we were in the morning. And so gravity pulls down on our shoulders. So everybody let your shoulders go down and your chin go down. Now, what kind of message does that send to your subconscious? Tired, burdened, have a lot to do. Now, pull your shoulders back up and pull your chin back up, just above level. What message does that send now? Confident, ready, awake. We can do it. So we can change our own programming by reminding ourselves to pull our shoulders up a few times a day. Because most of the time, you'll pull them up and you take a deep breath. And that also helps us feel more confident. So next to shoulders on your paper, put shoulders have to do with burden and responsibility. Burden and responsibility. And chin, now not touching your chin. Touching your chin sends a different message. But the level of our chin sends a message that I can see where we're going. I can see where we're going. When somebody is sitting down in an auditorium or something and somebody taller sits in front of them, what do they automatically do with their chin? They put their chin up. Here, play with me. Put your chin down, then put it up. Can you actually see further ahead? No. So why do we do it? Because it sends the message to our subconscious that I can see further. Our level of our chin sends a message, write this one on your paper, of confidence and how I can see, how far I can see. Confidence and how far I can see. That's what level of the chin does. So people who keep their chin down a lot, they spend too much time looking in their emotions and not enough time seeing where they're going. And we feel safer when we know where we're going, where we're headed. So that's another powerful piece of a first impression. So the last piece, because you guys are going to have to go here. No, we want to stay till midnight, right? Yes. Because this is useful stuff. You can use this immediately. You can change the way you do things. Because too many times in our world, I have people that they walk in their bathroom in the morning, they flip on the light, and they look in the mirror and go, oh, 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 oh. And the first program they put into their subconscious is a negative one. First program they put in is one pulling down. Why is it that we don't get up in the morning? We walk in, we flip on the light and go, hey, I'm so glad you're in my mirror. You are amazing. Let's go take over this planet. Why don't we do that? It's the bathroom. No one's going to see us. There are not bathroom mirror police who will come and arrest you. Just some power pose. Pick any power pose you want. Whatever you want. But that studies show that people who will hold a confidence a confident body language pose can change the hormones in their brain within 3 minutes.
Wow.
3 minutes is all it takes to change the chemicals in your brain. So please learn more about body language. When I learned about body language, it changed the way I interacted with my kids immediately. I walked home and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do, what to try. And I walked in my house and all my kids happened to be sitting in my family room. So I walked up to the door and said, "Hi everyone, I'm home." And they went, I'm like, "No, I'm owning this." And all of a sudden, my 13-year-old ran across the room and hugged me. My kids were so hungry for me to be open to them that they would take corny mom standing in the doorway over the person that had been pushing them away. It matters. When you choose your body language, you choose your results. So please learn more about body language, but qualify your sources. People who say this move always means this are missing a big piece of body language. Body language, the power of it comes from understanding the message you're sending and overriding your own programming as well. So understand that and learn that.
This has been a digital recording of the Southern Utah's 2015 LDS Homeschool Conference. Thank you for listening.